Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit our podcast page, biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our Bible study resources, including all our previous episodes. Before we begin, however, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness unto us. We thank you for the privilege of Bible study and prayer, and we invite your presence that you will give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, Preparing for Eternity Today. Preparing for Eternity Today. Our passage is Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And it says, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Isaiah 25, verse 9. We need to begin practicing for eternal life. We need to begin preparing for eternal life. Eternal life is something that has to be prepared for, just like getting into the right college, trying to get the right job, moving to a new neighborhood, you name it, obtaining a spouse. All of these things are things that require preparation and should not be entered into lightly or casually. There are many times where we take things for granted. As Christians, we spend a lot of time trying to convince other people about the hereafter and about what will be coming. But I think we take for granted that we will need to be ready for it. Noah and the ark represent one type of preparation for deliverance. And Lot and his family represent a different type of preparation. We should look at those briefly. Noah was given a message of warning and reformation and revival, and he preached for approximately 120 years, which seems like a long time, but, you know, when you look at it in terms of how long they lived, you figure they lived to an age that's like 10 times what we normally live, right? They lived to their 900s. So let's just say that they lived to their 90s. He preached for 120 years, make that 12 years, and proportionately, that's what it would look like. And that's still a long time, right? 12 years is not 12 weeks or even 12 months. If you received a message that was significant of impending doom and you preached from now, 2020, until 2032, before this thing befell the planet, that would be enough time certainly to get everyone to be able to make a decision. So Noah preached for 120 years. And all that time, all the while he was doing that, he was also building an ark. There were many people that worked with him on the ark. We tend to conclude that it was just his four boys with him, but that's because they are the ones who went in. But there's indication we have, especially in the spirit of prophecy, that there were more people that worked on the ark. The sad part is that many people who worked on it did not enter, right? So they used up the time that they had to prepare, and they did not get themselves ready. Noah prepared for the ark. He prepared the ark. He prepared for the coming. He prepared for the punishment. He prepared for the judgments of God that fell upon the earth at that time. And he brought his house into subjection. And I don't mean that in a negative or domineering way, but everyone that is part of his nuclear family went into the ark. Right? We don't have anyone recorded from his nuclear family that did not. Now, we know in the after history that people made other decisions as well. And that should be a lesson to us, that as a parent, you can bring your children along, you can guide them and instruct them and lay the groundwork for them, but they do get to choose ultimately. They do get to make a decision. And some of his family did. The chosen seed was out of one line, another line stayed closer to the right, and one line went south, from which we have the Canaanites and a host of others. But Noah did prepare. He prepared himself and his household. He prepared for the work of being ready for the coming judgments. And although others heard and for a variety of reasons did not accept, Noah preached to the fullest. He presented the word of God to the utmost, and yet others did not choose. Now, Noah's immediate family came, and his young men married young women who also came along. They also embraced what it was. So those women married into that family, understanding what that family meant. Because remember, at the time of the flood, the oldest child is 100. The oldest child is 100. So they were all born after he began preaching that message. The women that they married knew about that message, and they knew what they were getting themselves into, and they entered into that household. So Noah was prepared. Lot, on the other hand, faced a judgment. The city he was in was ultimately judged by God and destroyed. But Lot was not as prepared. Lot lost not only neighbors, but he lost relatives. His children married people who scoffed and mocked at what he told them when he told them. Now we know that Lot, each day he was trying to leverage his influence in a right direction, at least to some degree, but he himself made bad decisions about where he would end up that did not help that process at all. And then ultimately, Lot lost everything except his own salvation, right? Lot lost everything except his own salvation. His wife became a pillar of salt. His two daughters, who were not yet married, conducted vile activities. And so Lot is left alone of that family. And it's a lesson to us because we need to be preparing. We need to be daily making changes to our trajectory, making changes to what we focus on, making changes to what we look upon, how we view the planet. If you look around, you'll see that many people have their vision in certain places. And it is not helpful for the Christian to have their vision in every place that other people have their vision. And so we need to be getting our minds acclimated to heavenly things if we want to be prepared for heavenly things. The more we allow our minds to be acclimated to worldly things, the more we're going to be prepared to embrace and accept worldly things. Quote here says, "We are to live not to elevate ourselves, but that we may, as God's little children, do the very best of our ability, do to the very best of our ability the work he has committed to us. It is our business to give a right impression to others. We are preparing for eternity, to the sanitarium above, where the great physician shall wipe away the tears from every eye, and where the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nation." We need to embrace a walk with God on a personal level, And we need to encourage our family to accept that same walk with God on a family level. We need to leverage the influence that we have on whatever scale that we have it to accomplish the work that we've been given to do. And the work that we've been given to do, there are many passages that sum that work up. Isaiah 58 sums up one aspect of that work. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 sums up another aspect of that work. We need to present the gospel in all the world, and we need to manifest the gospel to all of those we come in contact with. The preaching of the gospel is clear. Many people agree that that needs to be done. Many people understand that it needs to happen. But the living of the gospel is also important, right? You can't live the gospel as a substitute for preaching it, and you can't preach it as a substitute for living it. We need to do both. We need to be prepared for the soon coming of our Lord, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We cannot be distracted by the things that we see here on this planet. We need to be ready to move forward, ever upward. If we want to stand a chance of seeing the Lord come and saying, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." We need to be preparing now, looking forward to that now, because we won't suddenly want to do that, right? The issue with the rich young ruler is that his heart was set on his money. His heart was set on his riches, which God had blessed him with. And because his mind was there and he was hoping that there was a way to be on God's side without losing that which God had given him, because he couldn't part with the gifts, he parted with the giver. And we have to be careful that we don't do the same kind of thing, even if it's not due to wealth per se. Maybe we're hung up on fame. Maybe we're hung up on prestige and position and responsibility. Whatever it is, we have to be careful that we don't give up the giver so that we don't have to give up the gift, which unfits us for the larger gifts that are available to us, that the Lord would love to bestow upon us. But he has to be able to trust us. If we're not profitable servants, if we're not good stewards, he cannot trust us. And he can't rely on us. He can't bestow upon us the management of the goods that he has for the glory and honor of his name and the furtherance of his kingdom. So day by day, we need to be preparing. We need to be recognizing that this place is not where we are going to be eternally. This place is temporary. We need to be able to relinquish our grasp of this place, no matter what benefits or blessings we receive from it today, and prepare ourselves for the future place and start to live in accordance with that, start to lead our families in accordance with that, so that we are getting into the ark collectively with our families and not running out of Sodom sort of alone with our families falling down behind us. Isaiah 25:9 says, "And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. But we thank you most of all for giving your Son. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us individually and collectively as a family and as the world. We ask you to help us to surrender ourselves to you, to be willing to do the things you need us to do, and to not get so hung up on the stuff you give us that we're willing to have the stuff instead of to have the relationship. Please bless us, we pray, as we go from here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find Rightly Divide the Word of Truth on Spotify or wherever you normally obtain your podcasts. please feel free to contact us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. Whether you have questions, comments, or concerns, we look forward to hearing from you. If you're finding this channel to be a blessing, please take the time to share our page with others, and always keep our ministry in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study His Word.